Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. We are going to chat with Jason Alexander, who kicked off Tiki in Tacoma, Washington. His first establishment was the Tacoma Cabana, which opened in an old coffee shop in that little town. And once he got that going, he was able to open up the bar he really wanted to open, a beautiful Tiki establishment called Devil's Reef. If you've never been, it is worth the drive out of Seattle. It's not that far to go check out. The drinks are outstanding. The drinks were also outstanding at Tacoma Cabana. However, Jason decided to close that down and reopen in a new concept. It is called the Fern Bar, full of crocheted wonders and fabulous slushies. So it's a whole different vibe, but kind of related and still very tasty. So let's talk with Jason about, oh gosh, all things metal, playing tuba as a teen, and lovely harmonious cocktails.
All right, so tell everybody who you are. We're doing the Music and Booze thing.
With Jason Alexander.
From
Tacoma, Washington.
Yes.
And Devil's Reef.
Devil's Reef. And well, you've got two. You got Devil's Reef and
For the time being. I guess we should let this cat out of the bag right now. That the cabana's days are numbered.
Ah, okay. Well, that's a very lovely little spot. But Devil's Reef is pretty spectacular. If you're going to make that a full-time thing, it's a good thing to have as a full-time thing.
Devil's Reef is our bar. It was something that we created and built from the ground up.
Yeah.
Whereas the cabana was just something
We
filled the space. Mm-hmm. We walked into a pre-existing nightclub that was mostly turnkey and tossed up some decorations 7 years ago now.
Oh, my God. Has it been that long?
Seven years. Yeah, it's been that long.
Wow.
We just kind of crossed our fingers, like, I don't know if this concept or these drinks or this theme or this style is going to work, because, you know, we didn't know about Oasis back then. We didn't know about the Hooky Lau and Tiki Con and all these other events. And, you know, we were very much on this little island on the Pacific Northwest, pun and no pun intended.
Because it's Tacoma.
Yeah, exactly. And so it took off. you know, and I was like, holy cow, I was amazed. I'm still amazed to this day that it's been that long, and it's you know, provided a living for us and entertainment and good times and fond memories for everybody else.
What made you say, like, you know, here we are outside of Seattle? Not too far outside of Seattle, but got to open a tiki bar.
I like being the underdog, I guess.
And at that time, that's what it was.
Well,
was there anything else at that time?
No, there was nothing else at that time.
No. I didn't think so. Yeah,
I mean, well, there was hula.
Yeah, but does that really count? Were there two kind of dive tiki bars up there? There's hula and another one that is equally as gross.
You know, I don't know. I know hula moved. They relocated and have a complete brand new build out, and I guess it's gorgeous inside.
Well, good for them. There's another one that is still there, because I was just in Seattle a couple of months ago, and whatever the other one is still perfectly divey and gross.
I'm sure.
But you opened up Tacoma Cabana,
right?
And you guys went in there with kind of what, like this sort of party vibe, kind of. I mean, I've been there and I love it, and it feels like a home tiki bar to me.
Yeah, we just didn't know. I mean, honestly, we didn't know what we were doing. Mm-hmm. We were young and broke and just wanted to have fun, and we came from a little coffee shop that we started making these drinks in because I wanted a bar in the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, making zombies and Navy grogs and Mai Tais, and having to learn how to make all the ingredients for these drinks from scratch because there was no vendors or distribution for that at the time that I knew of or could find or that was readily available in Washington. And now, it just...
Had you been making these drinks for yourself at home before that? No? Okay. Keep going. I totally interrupted you, but
right.
The fact that you've, like, you know, you decided to dive into a pretty intense cocktail world.
Right.
You know, it's not like you went in going, I'm going to make Manhattans, I'm going to make martinis, which are like 2 or 3 ingredient drinks. You went, I'm going to make tiki drinks, which are like 12 or 15 ingredient drinks. Well, it's pretty ambitious.
Well, when me and Robin opened up our little coffee shop, and I was all down for it, but I didn't want to make coffee. You know, it's like I don't want to make coffee.
I would love to open a cafe. Can I not deal with coffee?
Right. It's like, can I put a little bar in the coffee shop? And having never bartended or made drinks before, you know, I really bit off more than I thought I could chew at the time. It's like, okay, I guess this is really happening. I better learn how to make some drinks. And so, you know, no, really, it's like...
Oh, I believe you.
I'm behind the bar.
I just love that you went big, man. You just went big.
Well, if you're going to do it. If, you know, don't talk about it, just do it.
But that's kind of you, right? I mean, because we've talked a little bit. You were in the military. You were in bands. You did all of this stuff. And it sounds like when you go, you go.
I mean, Gwar's mentality, if you want to get to the music side, they've always said... don't talk about it, just do it. And I try and live that and preach that, you know, to other people that come in. It's like, if you want to open up your own bar, just do it. You know, why are you talking to me about it?
Yeah.
You know,
it's
time you could be spent opening up your own spot. And it's like, we live on a boat down in a marina, and one of my customers, you know, he's like, oh, I want to start a dive service, cleaning underneath of boats and stuff like that. And it's like,
well, then
just do it. And he kind of looked at me sideways. He's like, really? Yeah, dude, if that's what you want to do, just go do it. Go get a business license. You know, I'll be your first customer. Go come clean my boat. And he comes,
just
he come,
do it, man.
He comes into me next week. He's like, I got my business license. I started my business. I was like, thank you for telling me to just, you know,
just
to stop talking about it and just do it.
Yeah. So tell me about your band, though. You've been in a couple of bands? You're not in a band right now.
No.
You don't have time.
I sold my drums to open up the Cabana.
We
ran out of money. I mean,
Different marriages.
We were super poor, super broke, and we got delayed by a month on opening up the Cabana. And the last thing I had was my drum set.
Oh, God. Well, do you miss your drum set?
Yes.
Have you had time to miss your drum set?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, I do.
You know what? When the time is right, you will reignite the drum fire.
I mean, I'll always be a musician. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started playing music when I was 8 years old on the tuba. Yeah.
You played the tuba first?
Yeah.
Oh,
when I was 8 years
old. Did you play in the high school marching band?
I did, but I played drums.
You played drums in the band?
Yeah.
So what took you from tuba to drums?
Well, when I first joined band in elementary school... I was like, I want to play drums. And like, well, we're all full up on drums, but we need a tuba player. And I was like, okay, I just want to play music.
Aww,
so they stuck me on
awesome.
Tuba. So I played tuba for years and years and years, mm-hmm. and I had a little drum set at home that I would practice on until I was just as good as the guys in the band, to the point where I got better. It was like, okay, if they're going to give me this job going from the tuba to the drums, I better be better than
really
the current
good.
Crowd. And so I went up to the band teacher and was like, hey, I'm quitting band unless you put me on drums.
Nice. So you always wanted to get to percussion.
Yeah, I did.
Well, back in your tuba days, though, did you have a song you really liked playing on tuba? Tuba's got to be kind of enjoyable in some way.
It's a really unique. It's huge. It's loud.
Yeah.
It's low. It's always reverberating.
It always calls attention to itself.
Well, the thing that I loved about playing the tuba is it taught me to read music, obviously, and not just rhythmic music, but actual notes. And I was able to translate that to playing like bass guitar, and then moving over to the
gateway tuba.
Exactly, gateway tuba.
I never would have thought that. Very nice.
So I was able to teach myself how to play bass, and then when I went over to the percussion side, and you had to learn xylophone and bass clef and treble clef, I was able to teach myself to play all that, which translated over to the piano and guitar.
Oh my God.
Not that I'm horribly good at any of
those. I was
going to
say, how many instruments do you play? You're making yourself sound like Prince or something right now. You're like, hell no, not a prodigy, just dabbling.
Right. Yes. Well, I mean, it was fun. It was interesting.
That's
to
really
me. It was
neat.
Entertaining. It's like making a cocktail.
Yeah.
You know, hey, here's this piece of music. Here's this recipe. Let's decode this and let's learn how it works and figure it out. And and I want to see how this piece of paper translates to an actual physical melody or a flavor or a cocktail. So those two worlds were very similar to me in that.
Well, I've found, especially over the course of doing this podcast, there's such a strong link in the creativity involved between making a song, making music, and making cocktails or making food. You know, there's something where you're bringing these ingredients together and creating a formula, or not a formula, creating a combination.
Right.
And I tend to think in musical. I played guitar for a little bit, but I tend to think in terms of music. You're making a song, you're making melody.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
If you're making a cocktail, you're making a melody.
Exactly.
But with these ingredients instead.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like with the drinks that we make here, the tiki drinks and the tropical drinks and the exotic drinks. You have a set of notes.
Yeah.
Just like you would on a xylophone or a keyboard or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's your notes, make a song, make a melody.
That's so cool. I love this.
I've always thought
I've never
of it
thought
like,
of it that way, but it makes perfect sense. I mean, obviously that creativity side, but thinking of it in terms of notes.
It's like you got
because you're rearranging notes.
Right. It's like you got 13 notes. Mm-hmm. Your rhythm is basically infinite.
Yeah.
So how are you going to take these 13 notes or
and make them.
Or these, three rums and five liqueurs and two juices and two syrups? How are you going to take that and write your melody?
Well, can you think of a musical drink right now?
A musical drink right now?
Well, I mean, because you're saying melody and we're comparing it to cocktails, and I'm like, what is the most musical cocktail?
I don't know.
What I mean, though? I'm sort of like, what are the notes, or maybe musical cocktail to you, what are the notes that you like combining?
I like a cocktail to be a nice, solid symphonic chord. So you got the whole symphony out
a
there.
A chord, though.
You got the strings.
That's kind of one strong note, though.
Yeah.
If you say one symphonic chord, that's
how I
think of it as like the end of A Day in the Life by the Beatles.
Right.
When there's that dun that goes on for 30 seconds or
right.
something. So when you say that, that's what comes to my head.
I guess I like it to be harmonious.
Okay.
I like all of the components to play well together I don't want the brass
Maybe
to be
that's
overpowering.
Why I like your drinks. Because they're not like, I don't know, Mr. Bungle or something.
Right.
I have nothing against Mr. Bungle. Mm. But Mr. Bungle is not harmonious.
No. It's not supposed to be.
Totally. So what would your drinks be in terms of a musical band? Can you know?
Man.
I know, we're putting you on the spot right now, but you're like, these things.
No, and that's a good question. Nobody's ever asked me that before.
Well, we haven't gone down this line of talking before.
Well,
that's probably why.
True.
But you're a musician.
Right.
So you think in these terms. So now I'm kind of like, well, okay, you could probably tell me some bands. Like, what are your most melodic bands, your harmonious bands, the bands that strike a chord with you that when you hear it, you just feel like inside you just say yes.
Man.
So with bands, you probably could do that a little easier than with a cocktail.
Right.
But the cocktail, when you drink it, you know it when you know it. But
yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot.
I don't know. I mean, I like a lot of different music for a lot of different reasons. Yeah. It just depends. And same with cocktails. Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes I want a margarita.
Oh, it's like some days I'm a tequila girl. Everybody teases me. They're like,
I want a gin Bloody Mary.
Right? They're all, isn't that called something else, though? Is it Red Snapper when you put gin in it? Mm-hmm. No, I've been teased.
Nobody knows that. You got to say gin Bloody Mary. If you say Red Snapper, you just think I just sideways.
We're educating the audience today. Right, it's right. Red Snapper. Just educate your bartender. Yeah. I'm a tequila mezcal girl, and I do hang out at a lot of tiki bars, and I get teased for that, and they're like, well, for a tequila girl, you sure spend a lot of time at rum bars. I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of different properties to a lot of different things.
I mean, tiki bars just aren't about just the rum.
It's true. It's true. There are a lot of other things that go on
there. I mean, Trader Vic and the other dude's name, not Don.
Stephen?
Yes, Stephen Crane.
Yes.
You know, they would incorporate, I mean, especially Trader Vic, you know, gin and whiskey.
A lot of gin came into the Trader Vic world.
Love gin.
Yeah. Are you a gin guy?
Yeah, I like gin. I like gin in the drinks. Because, I mean, you get something light, but it's...
You guys have a swizzle at Tacoma Cabana.
I did. The gin drift swizzle.
Is that the one?
Uh-huh.
That's really fucking delicious? I love a good swizzle. And I remember going there and being like, swizzle, I got to try this. And it was super good. When Tacoma goes away, mm-hmm. are some of those drinks going to make their way over to Devil's Room?
Yeah, everything at the Cabana that's on the menu now mm-hmm. are just your classic tiki drinks.
Yeah. But there are
a couple of specialty drinks, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of off-menu stuff. And most of the menu for Devil's Reef was made at the Cabana with all of those off-menu drinks that I cultivated and curated over the last 2 years, knowing that I was going to open up a bar called Devil's Reef. Just when and where that was going to happen, I didn't know.
Yeah, but you're ready.
I'm
you're
ready.
Doing all the R&D at Tacoma Cabana.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, that's what you do. You test drinks out on your regulars who you know and trust. It'll say, hey, this drink sucks. It's too sweet. It's, you know, this drink is gross.
Yeah. Well, this takes us back to the harmonious stuff. So.
Right. Well, balance.
It all comes down
to balance. I don't like drinks that are too sweet. I don't like drinks that are so tart that you can't taste any of the other components. And who doesn't like a good strong glass of alcohol? But ordering a mixed drink, I expect...
You might have a little bit more than just that.
Right.
You know, I mean, because you're getting a tiki drink, so the chances are that you'll have quite a bit of liquor in there anyway.
Exactly.
So let's have something that doesn't feel like your eyeballs are going to fall out of your head as soon as you take a sip.
Like I said, you're paying good money. You should expect a quality, well-thought-out, well-built, mm-hmm. fresh cocktail.
I'm trying... Can you think of your most harmonious drink? Can you think of a drink that you made, and when it was done, you were like, yes. The same way you would be when you write a song. And we'll have to go back to your band days.
That's fine. Totally. I mean, a very harmonious drink is the one I'm going to be serving tonight at the Pagan Idol Room Party.
Oh, really?
It's just an idea I've been toying around with for a long time.
Yeah.
And I really like the name of this drink. It was called... I called it the South Seas Sleepwalker. And it's...
So not quite a zombie.
No. I mean, nothing really to do with a zombie, per se. But its tagline was, it's a somnambulistic tipple that will dance on your grave even if you're buried at sea. So I've been hanging on to this
excellent
drink name
words.
And this tagline. And
you're like, when can I make it all come together? I want these words. I want this combo.
Well, I had a recipe down for it that was very, very simple and very easy. And it was okay. It was good. But it was nothing I ever felt like, you know, that should be menu worthy. Mm-hmm. So I went back, and this is just a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. Literally, and to reapproach this drink, and it was like, okay.
And then it clicked.
Let's scrap the rums that I'm using for it, and let's take the syrup and cut it down. I was using honey syrup, and it was like, let's cut it down, and let's add a little bit of grenadine to it. And so I've got lime, grapefruit, cinnamon, honey, grenadine, all balanced with a couple of dashes of bitters and pimento dram to just give it a little extra spicy kick.
Yum.
And then I swapped the rums around to from like a light rum and a aged overproof rum to a Barbados rum and an Agricole.
Wow.
Because I just like the way that I just tried it off of a whim. I was like, you know, hey, let's do this. And I always keep a little notebook in my breast pocket,
yeah.
and I write down everything. And sometimes pages get torn out of there and crumpled up and thrown away. And so I took the template I had for this drink, the South Sea Sleepwalker, and just swapped the rums out, and then split the difference on the syrup from honey and to honey and grenadine.
Yeah, I'd say tone down the honey a little bit. Make
little
it that grenadine gives it a little bit of tart, tiny bit, yeah.
And I was like, holy shit.
You're like, we got it. We
and
got it. Like,
and it just came out to be this harmonious, balanced drink. And I would come into work every day and I'd make myself one and I drank it before anybody got there.
And you were very happy. You were pleased.
Oh, so good.
So what do you listen to with this drink?
This is all I can think about.
Yeah.
You know, this,
well, you
literally, this,
I was
for
gonna
like
say.
2 weeks, this is all I can think about is this drink. And I was like, yes, finally, it's done. I'm so happy. This is the way I wanted it to
What's
taste.
The soundtrack to this drink?
What is the soundtrack to this drink?
Yeah. Because obviously this drink has been bouncing around your brain for a little bit.
It's there had a couple to be. Of years. Couple
yeah,
of years.
It sounds this, like it.
I've been
But you know what? And see, you made me think again of music, because how often has it happened to you where you a new record came out, you listen to it, and you're like, okay, that's all right. And then you set it aside. And then like a year or two later, you listen to it again, and you're like, why was I not listening to this every fucking day?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We've all had that experience, yeah. probably
soundtrack
multiple times.
Soundtrack for the drink, Pantera's Great Southern Trendkill.
Ooh.
The entire album, top to bottom. I grew back up in the CD days,
no,
the
me
record
too.
Days. It's like, I don't understand these playlists and these shuffles and just
there's something beautiful about lying between two speakers and listening to something really loud.
I like to listen to a whole album,
and
I guess for me, that the Pantera album, Great Southern Trendkill, that would
it works with that drink.
I think so, yeah.
That's beautiful. See, I knew you had it in
but
you.
But the whole album.
No, I know.
The whole, not just one song.
Well, of course it's the whole album, because that's how Pantera operates.
It doesn't get put on shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
You just start at track number one and you go right to the bottom.
Okay, this is you being a musician again, which I appreciate, because I've known lots of musicians over the years. And especially, again, before the playlist era, when you made an album with forethought, mm-hmm. knowing this is the first track and this is the last track and this is the journey you're going to take
right.
on the way to that final track right. and everything. And that's how you're thinking, and that's how you're thinking of your drinks too.
Yeah.
And that's probably why your drinks are good.
Well, I mean, back in my band days, I knew a bunch of guys that were quality musicians, but, you know, they were poor, we were poor.
Yeah. And you're a musician. That kind of goes without saying.
Well, I mean, I was slightly fortunate. When I came out of the military, I had my VA bill mm-hmm. or my GI bill and college fund and all that.
So you had a little bit of a cushion.
And I was a union carpenter. And so I got a tax-free check from the government every month, making up my wage difference from apprentice to journeyman. So I took this check to Guitar Center every month.
Oh my God, really?
And I bought everything. I bought
equipment.
Trust me, when I walked into the Guitar Center,
they knew.
I would get the department head would walk out of all of their departments and up to me, hey Jason, what do you need today? Because literally,
try to finish off your room, right?
Well, I mean, for 4 years, I spent $2,000 a month at Guitar Center.
Oh my God, jeez!
Tell
me about your band.
I bought everything, so. You know,
I would think that you were impressive on stage then.
I would know. I
hope so. You're like, I tried.
I was 20, you know, early, mid, late 20s, I guess.
Wow.
My entire 20s. Was
playing
just wanted
music.
To drink, play music, have fun.
Well, tell me about
I
your
didn't
band.
Care.
It was metal, right?
It's a metal band, of course, mm-hmm.
yeah. Was it metal? Was it death metal?
Death-ish metal.
Yeah, because, I mean, in the metal, we're, I mean, even if I say death metal, there's even more than that.
It wasn't hardcore death metal. We just liked to...
You were just loud.
Of course.
I was at a seminar earlier today where there was a drink at a bar, Boston maybe? It was called Lightning Swords of Death, which is actually the name of my friend's metal band.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that band broke up somewhat recently. But that was pretty much it for me with, like, kind of the death metal thing. And then he's like, well, there's also this metal and this metal. I'm like, God, it's just... I don't know all these metals, but I appreciate them. I like going to see it because there's a lot of, like, energy back there. Always. There's always a lot of energy. There's a lot of, like, emotion.
I got to see Cannibal Corpse the first time that they ever played in the Pacific Northwest.
Ever?
Yeah, ever.
When was that? Because they've been around for a long time.
They've been around for a very long time. And this was a very long time ago.
Okay, I was going to say.
They switched singers from Chris Barnes to... George Corpse Grinder Fisher. So it was their first tour with him on their new album.
And that was the first time they made it up to the Pacific Northwest?
First time ever in the Northwest.
Damn.
And they opened for Anthrax. I was like, yes, it's going to be an awesome show. It's at this small little club in Seattle, and I'm super excited, but I'm scared shitless because I'm like, this Cannibal Corpse are going to murder me on stage and devour me. And we get there. This is what...
Oh, no, I believe you.
It was like 14, 15.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
I drove, so I was 16.
So you must have been 16, okay. Yeah.
And watched Cannibal Corpse, you know, jaw agape. And like, oh, my God, this is awesome.
And you didn't die.
And I didn't die.
Did you bleed?
No.
Did anybody bleed?
I'm sure, maybe.
Okay, you just didn't see it. Okay.
But I went to the... After they got done with their set and before Anthrax came out, I went to the back of the club, and I'm just kind of sitting there hanging out against this back wall waiting for Anthrax to come on, and there's this door right next to me, and the door swings open, and out walks Cannibal Corpse right in front of me, all five of them. They're like, hey, and, you know, they all put out their hands, thanks for coming to our show.
Really?
We appreciate it. Do you have anything you want us to sign? And I'm like, I pulled out my little Ticketmaster ticket, and they all signed this little ticket.
That's rad.
They were the nicest guys, and I will remember that
forever. And that
forever.
Was totally accidental, right? You just happened to be sitting out there? You weren't waiting for them to come
out,
right?
No, I had no idea. I just went to the back of the club to wait for the next band to come out. And this nondescript door, you know, I was the only one there. There was nobody else around, and door opens up, Cannibal Corpse files out, and just...
The stories I've heard and my limited experience in the metal realm is that metal dudes are super nice.
Yeah.
You know,
and I was scared. I thought they were going to murder me.
Right? I think they get up there and they get the up on stage. And then we're downstairs, they're like, hey, bro, what's up?
Yeah. But they were just the nicest, coolest guys ever. And they all shook my hand and said, thank you for coming to the show.
Well, when you were playing with... What was your band called? You probably had multiple bands.
No.
No? You had one band you did for a while.
I only had one band.
Yeah. What was the name?
I mean, I never had...
You had to have a good melody.
I always wanted a band in high school, and it never happened.
Yeah.
Then I went in the Marine Corps, and I gave up music while I was in the Marine Corps. And when I got out, I was like, I'm buying a drum set. I'm getting back into this. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I was a carpenter, and so I...
That's pretty metal,
one of the
really,
guy, one of the guys,
a carpenter.
Right, right.
Yeah.
One of the guys I worked with was a singer, and I knew some other, you know, just friends of friends, and... Everything just kind of came about, and we just started jamming, the five of us. It was a twin. There was twins that played the guitar and the bass, and then another.
Were they blonde?
Another, no.
No. Wow. Okay, I expect blonde twins.
Long,
to play
long,
metal.
Dark, curly hair.
That's cool. That long, works dark, too. I'm just stereotyping.
And then another guy on guitar, myself on the drums, and then a singer.
And then you had a band. And what were you called?
Well, we were called Descentuary.
Oh, nice. That's a good
metal. We just
kind of
combined
name.
The word descent and sanctuary.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
You go down to your...
So what was the scene like when you were playing?
It was fun. Yeah. We played with a lot of... some Seattle bands.
Was this in like in the 90s or the
2000s? 2000s. This would have been 2000...
Yeah. So what was the scene like in Seattle at that time? You were playing with other metal bands, or were you still like just noise bands? And
no, there was other metal bands.
There's
in
so
Seattle.
Much music
we did,
in Seattle.
We did a lot of festivals up there. There was a club called Studio 7 that we played at regularly.
Nice.
We opened pardon my language, this is going to...
They're swearing on this podcast. It's all good.
Probably one of our biggest shows ever. We opened up for the band called Anal Cunt.
Oh, yeah. All right, yeah. That band I'm familiar with. They're big enough and memorable name.
Yeah. So we got to open for them at Studio 7.
Awesome.
That was pretty cool.
I remember them coming to Berkeley, and they always played at, like, Gilman Street and these kind of, like, noisy, co-op-y kind of places and everything, which were just perfect. You
did
know.
A couple of shows. We'd drive down to Portland or out to Yakima and...
Awesome.
Eventually got Yoko Ono'd.
What? Yeah. Oh, somebody broke up the band?
Yeah, my girlfriend, the singer's girlfriend, and the one guitar player's girlfriend that was not the twins.
It was multiple girlfriends that broke up the band? Three girlfriends.
They all hated each other.
Oh, that's not Yoko Ono'd.
No,
Yoko Ono'd is one girlfriend breaks up
this
the band.
Three.
That's three girlfriends infighting and you guys trying to make peace and... sacrificing for the
greater
good.
Well, they all played us and turned us against each other.
Oh, shut up. Are all those women gone out of your lives?
Yeah.
Well, that's good at least. Are you guys friends again?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So that broke up the band.
That eventually was our downfall.
So what is it that you indulge in now musically? Do you play drums at home at all anymore?
No,
because you don't have
a
drum kit anymore.
I don't have a drum kit.
You going to get another one someday?
I just sing drums in my head.
I like that. That counts.
I listen
probably
to music.
In the car,
I mean,
too.
The muscle memory is
yeah,
not... The muscles aren't there, but I mean, I still think
back.
About it, you know?
Do you... who's your favorite drummer right now?
Who's my favorite drummer right now?
Well, you can say who your favorite drummer is, period. Because you've got to have one.
I do.
I doubt you have a favorite tuba player.
I know.
But percussionists, drummers...
Favorite drummer,
pretty,
I mean...
You know...
I liked a lot of different guys for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
I would always listen to the jazz drummers growing up just because I wanted a different...
Jazz drummers are pretty insane.
A different perspective on it. I mean, honestly, I couldn't list all the guys I listened to.
Yeah.
Terry Bozzio was a big influence on
Terry Bozzio, who I know from Missing Persons Tale, but Terry Bozzio.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know he did stuff before that, and I
and
know he did,
that.
But I and after that, but
that
I don't know what
crazy.
It was because that was... because I'm a child of the 80s, so that's what came into my brain. And it's something where just recently I found out that Gary Kemp, I think, who's one of the Spandau Ballet guys, used to play with David Bowie in the 70s. And it's, you know, I'm a teenager and I see this guy and I just associate him with that one band and don't think outside of that. So it's great to hear this. Did Terry Bozzio play with jazz artists before
Or was it more
of a
Missing
prom?
Persons.
Before
he
missing
did a
persons.
Lot of his own, like, little side projects that, you know, I...
Yeah.
Anytime
that's
his
a name,
name
that's come up before, though, in terms of any time I've talked to drummer types, he comes up.
Well, so. Anytime, you know, I would see his name on an album. I read Modern Drummer magazine religiously.
I love that.
All of the articles front, you know, the entire thing. I'd get one in the mail, and I'd sit down, and I'd read it cover to cover. And, what's the dude's name that played drums for Primus?
Oh, I don't know. My brother would know that because I was not into Primus.
Oh, I love
They were
Primus.
A little too, like... mathy for me.
Yeah.
So it wasn't my thing. I mean, I grew up here in San Diego, where we are right now.
Right.
I grew up here in San Diego, and we were like the kings of math rock here, like in the early 90s. It was like Three Mile Pilot and Truman's Water and all these kind of noisy math bands.
Right.
But then there was also Rockland and Crypt. There was like this garage thing, and I always loved the garage stuff more. To me, there was more melody, and it was just rowdy. And the math stuff just made me think too much, you know? But I could appreciate it. It's almost like it was Prague, but not quite Prague.
Right.
You know,
well,
so.
I like Primus because, yes, they were mathy, but they were just so different and
well, they
out
had a
there.
Jazzy thing.
A little bit,
you know,
for sure.
I think jazzy, funk, math, it required thought.
Right.
Yet stoners are into them.
Yeah. Well, that and Les Claypool was a carpenter.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. What's your favorite Primus song, then? You gotta have one.
I do.
Yeah, I know you do.
I do. I probably like...
Because they have so many albums.
Anything,
like singles,
anything from Sailing the Seas of Cheese. That album's
Are you a
my
Ween
favorite.
Guy as well? No. That one was a little too much
I listened to them, but I'm just not like a huge...
So, I mean, not saying that Primus and Ween are related, but they're a little related.
So, but I mean, I'm not a song guy. I'm an album guy. So
yeah, okay.
Give me the whole entire Sailing the Seas of
Cheese
album.
And you're happy.
Start to bottom. Say, baby, do you want to lay down with me? Say, baby, do you want to lay down by my side? Baby, do you want to lay down with me? Say, baby, say, baby.
we each have our own taste profiles. We each have all this stuff, and music is the same thing.
Well, let's bring that back to cocktails and bars and drink menus.
Yeah.
It's like, give me the drink menu.
Yeah.
I don't want to just go in and sit down and have a Mai Tai and a Navy Grog. Yeah. You know, I feel like people do that just to judge other bars. Oh,
absolutely.
I'm just going to go order a Mai Tai and a Navy Grog, and if they don't know how to do that.
If they don't make them good, then I'm never coming back
here
again.
It's like, pick up the cocktail menu. You know, they made it for a reason, I hope, anyway.
Yeah. I love looking at a cocktail menu and seeing, oh, they did something with this. Oh, they did something with this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll look at the ingredients and feel like, you know, I don't necessarily like this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this is.
Right.
I'm intrigued by that, ask a question, and be like, I'm going to give that a go. Yeah. And actually, I love that you put it that way, because it is like putting on a record, and you know like the song that got played on the radio, but you don't know the third track on side A.
Yeah.
And the third track on side A might wind up being your favorite song.
Yeah. Yeah. So, give me the whole menu.
Yeah.
I don't want to just go in and order the greatest hit. I don't want to hear the radio airplay song.
I default to it. If I go in and I have a drink, I'm like, no, that was okay. Then the next one I'll be like, just give me a daiquiri. Because if you do that right, then I know I've got another chance.
Right.
But I never start with that. You're right. I always start with something off the menu. I'm like, let's see what you guys are up to. You know, I'm curious to see what you're like. But I never thought of it in terms of that, as listening to a song you just haven't heard off that record before, which is, I love that.
So.
But we're nerds, so. Of course, we love that.
Like, when I go into a bar, I don't default to the Mai Tai Navy Grog theory that everybody else does. You know, I look at the menu, I read it, and
yeah, I've learned about ingredients that I never heard of before
by doing that.
I'm like, what is the thing I'm tasting in this? Oh, that's the blah blah blah. Oh, fantastic! I'm totally gonna buy a bottle of this and take it home and try a little bit and see if I can play with it and do something.
Exactly.
So I guess it's like jamming in a way.
Yeah.
Sweet.
See?
Thank you, Jason. I feel so educated right now. I feel like I never thought of it that way, but in a way we kind of did.
Everything comes back to music and construction.
You know what? And drinks are definitely constructed. A good drink is definitely constructed. And so is a good song, for sure. So let's go
Plumb level and square. That's what we always said. So
plumb level and square?
When you're...
Is it a carpentry thing?
Yeah.
See?
You want everything to be plumb.
Is that like aligned?
You want it to be level.
Yeah. Level I get.
So plumb is straight up and down.
Straight up and down?
Right. And then plumb level.
So your brain is just built this way.
And then square. You want all your angles to be at, you know.
Perfect squares. Or right. The right angle, so they don't. So you need, it'll be stable that way.
Exactly. Back to drinks. Plumb level. Make them plumb level and square every time. You're good to go.
Then it's balanced.
That's your rum, lime, and sugar. Your plumb level
and
square.
That's rad. I'm totally into all of this. It goes really well with my borderline OCD personality, actually.
I shit you not. This is the things that, you know, this is the way I grew up. This is how
I am. Yeah,
no,
it makes sense, though.
And that's the kind of things I think about, you know, the music. Hey, here's my 13 notes in the scale.
Uh-huh.
Let's turn those notes into chords and rhythms and patterns.
Yeah.
And then let's make sure
and
that...
the same thing with a drink.
And then, that's what I meant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got your 13 notes. Here's my ingredients for the drinks.
Yeah.
Let's take these notes here and make them into a melody, a pattern, mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, they better be plumb level and square.
I like it. Plumb level and square. And I'm going to say that to my dad because he likes to build.
Right.
And he'll laugh at me when I say, dude, it's a drink. You got to have a drink called the plumb level and square.
There you go.
When are you going to do that?
I don't know.
It doesn't sound very tiki, but I'm sure you can work it in.
Probably need to open up a construction bar.
That sounds a little bit porny for a young lady like myself. But I would totally be there just to see. So I tend to ask people, I'm like, the desert island drinks, the desert island music, all this kind of stuff. But if you're home and you're not just doing a shot and a beer, say you're at the bar and you want to have a drink for yourself, what are you listening to? What is that drink? You know, what is that little combo? If you've
depends.
Got something,
yeah. It depends.
I'm sure it alters depending on your mood and all of this stuff.
I mix it up. I mean, I do the shots and beers. And,
pretty much all bartenders, that's the default.
I know.
Cleansing the palate away.
Honestly, I like Planner's Punch.
Really?
Just a classic, plain, simple, easy Planner's Punch, preferably Remsburg style. Mr. Remsburg down there in New Orleans. I like his one.
Nice.
Get your 3 dashes of bitters, get your 3/4 ounce of lime, 1 ounce of simple syrup, and 3 ounces of Garuba rum over crushed ice.
Nice.
I think that drink is just absolutely perfect.
Just like that. So if you're doing that, you're probably in New Orleans, so maybe you just want to be listening to some New Orleans music while you're
You know,
that
I
drink.
Love jazz. I oftentimes, like when I get to work and nobody's there, I'll turn on Oh, was that
WOZ? No, the state radio station.
I know, I can't remember.
It's like
anything
WOOZ right now. Or something, or WWOZ, something like that.
No, the brass band from New Orleans.
Which one? Rebirth.
Yes, Rebirth.
Preservation.
Rebirth. Yeah. Tremé. I'll put those guys on the radio. A lot of times, I'll listen to the Disney loops, the music loops from different parts of the park. I've got those programmed in, so like I can listen to the music.
Is it like the Haunted Mansion or the Pirates of the Caribbean, or is it the New Orleans Square?
Well, I'll put on the New Orleans Square or the Esplanade or the one from Carthay Circle.
That's nice. So Disney's a thing for you too. I know you're a Disney fan.
Well,
and didn't you just get engaged at Disney?
Married.
You got married at married and then went to Disney for your.
Well, I was all.
You were all married.
I mean,
definitely.
We weren't in the park when we got married, but
I think they're kind of weird about that. Right. So yeah, you celebrated your wedding. You got married and then went to the park. You guys did the
engaged for a day.
Yeah.
Fiancés for a day, married for a day, and honeymoon for a day all at the park.
So. At the was it the Club 33 Tiki summer Tiki you got to experience?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go big.
Right.
If you're finished with that,
if you're gonna do it right.
See, so, to go back to the beginning of this podcast.
Don't talk about it. Just do it.
Just fucking do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally into that.
It, so.
So okay, so I think we can wrap it up. We've been talking for like 40 minutes here. I know, right? When you talk about music and you talk about booze, it just goes. So what do you want to tell folks? We'll probably air this in a month or so from this interview, so.
I'm sorry, the cabana's
Tacoma
closed.
Cabana. Yeah, when is that going to be closing?
First
of September, so it's on its way out. But Devil's Reef is still here.
We will
do
still
not
make
despair.
Devil's Reef is only going to get bigger, better, stronger, more awesome.
Yeah, so people should look you up on the Facebook and on the interwebs, and
I'm
the
in
Instagram.
All the places, for sure.
All the things. Is it just at Devil's Reef?
There's a rum called Devil's Reef, so make sure you don't.
Is it like Devil's Reef, Washington or something?
I think it's Devil's underscore Reef.
Okay.
Then I'm Tiki Commando.
Yes, Tiki Commando.
Because I was a commando in the Marine Corps.
Oh, geez.
In the South Pacific.
Really?
Huh?
Oh, my God. Your authenticity is just like overwhelming right now. Where in the South Pacific were you?
We went all over the place on deployments, so.
Yeah. There you go.
Middle East, South Pacific, Southeast Asia.
So basically the tip is, if you go to Seattle, make that trip up to Tacoma.
Well, down to Tacoma.
Down to Tacoma.
If you fly into SeaTac, technically Tacoma's closer to the airport than Seattle is.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have a friend that lives in Seattle, and he volunteered to be my Uber for the night. Because he doesn't drink, he just chews. But he actually had some non-alcoholic drinks at Devil's Reef that he absolutely loved.
We love to make virgin sacrifices, non-alcoholic drinks.
Yeah. So we went there, and then we went to Tacoma, then we had some dinner somewhere, and then we went back to Devil's Reef because both my friend, the non-drinker, and myself both loved it so much.
Awesome.
We went back to Devil's Reef and just...
Perfect.
Just it was just so beautiful, and we just had such an amazing experience at both bars, honestly. So I'm glad you still got the one going, everything, and everyone's got to go visit that if they don't know.
Like I said, don't worry, don't freak out. We make all the drinks. Nothing's going away. Nothing's changing. We're just it's time to move on and consolidate.
So that's happening. You'll just have to be down to the one bar. And how about you give our listeners a recommended album?
Recommended album? You have many,
I'm sure, but let's pick one for the booze crowd.
Recommended album
These
for
are
the
cocktail
booze
people.
Album.
So let's see if there's cocktail people. I know. I'm sure you have many, and you've thrown out a couple during the course of this interview.
Can I cheat and look at my phone?
Totally look at your phone.
Let's see here.
Yeah,
if I had one cocktail album to
This is one you're telling other people they should really listen to.
I mean, honestly, right now, that's been heavily on our playlist and is some awesome just hanging out and drinking music that I've really enjoyed are both the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtracks.
That was so not what I was expecting, but I kind of love it. Kind of love it because they're just fun, right?
It's
just a good time.
It's not what you expect when you turn on the radio
Well, that's because they pick like the B cuts and the C cuts and everything people kind of missed over.
And it's so good. It's so good. So
there we go.
And I know it's not metal. I know it's not.
It's okay. You're showing us all that you have breath.
Right.
So there we go.
I try and be diverse and expand the palette.
In so many ways. Well, awesome.
Yeah.
I think Guardians. That totally works. Guardians.
Great. Both of them. Volume 1 and Volume 2. Awesome. Yeah. Hanging out. Drink. You can drink anything. You can have a beer and a shot to that soundtrack. You can have a margarita. You can have a daiquiri. A zombie. Navy grog. It doesn't matter.
What is the most metal of the tiki drinks?
The most zombie.
Yeah, okay.
1934 Zombie Punch.
This has come up before, and I wanted to see if you agreed, because that is always the drink that is quoted as the most metal of the tiki drinks. So on that note, we will say, listen to Guardians of the Galaxy, and the most metal tiki drink you can get...
Zombie.
...is 1934 Zombie.
34 Zombie.
All right, great. Thanks so much, Jason.
Cheers, my pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga. I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
So there you go, a lot of musical fun with Jason Alexander of Devil's Reef and The Fern Room up in Tacoma, Washington. Make sure you find them on Instagram, and make sure when you look up Devil's Reef on Instagram, you find the Tacoma one and not the Rum Company. And find Jason at Tiki Commando. We also have a playlist on Spotify that Jason put together for us, and it rocks real hard, in case you were wondering. Because that seems like it would be kind of obvious, right? So thanks so much for tuning into this one. You know, we got a little bit more to tell you about. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com, and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guests and our Spotify playlist, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.